Amen. Take your Bible and turn to the 51st Psalm. The 51st Psalm, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I want to preach a few minutes this morning, if God be my help, on a spiritual awakening. Amen? A spiritual awakening. As we look at this and we see David, and we know that this was his prayer when he had committed sin with Bathsheba, and he had really went off the deep end and done a whole lot of things that would break God's heart and make him sad. Amen. That's what sin does. It breaks God hard and makes him sad. And we ought to, in our life, we ought to be always striving to never break the heart of God. Amen. If we strive to never do anything that would break the heart of God, then we'd never do anything to hurt the ones we supposedly love. Amen. We would have love and compassion, praise God, in the place of that the other things this world has. And we'd have that compassion that Christ had for us when we were old lost sinners. But I'm glad he come to us, praise God. And we see that David, as he's praying this prayer, and he asked God in his supplication to create in me a clean heart. Amen. If we ever going to see things happen in the church, we ever going to have a Holy Ghost revival, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm starting tonight at the camp meeting, tent meeting. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost revival. I'm looking to be fed from the Lord and get those gleanings, praise God, he has. I'm like a Ruth. I'll glean around the edges, praise God. If you want to get in the middle, praise God, and just shout it out, that's all right. But I'd be perfectly content just to glean around the edges of what God's got for us. Because I'm looking for a schedule, a stirring of revival, amen? And I'm not looking just for a scheduled event, something that's going to take place, but I'm looking for something that'll touch your heart. When believers, praise God, believe in their heart, praise God, we'll begin to turn, and we'll turn our back on sin, and we'll turn our face, we'll turn back to God. And that's what we ought to be looking for today, a spiritual awakening in our own lives that'll turn us back to God. You say, "Well, preacher, I've been trying to do the best I can." Yeah, we all have, amen? In our own minds, we think we're doing the best we can. But see, there's a way to do better, and that's a way, and that's His way. He knows exactly the way we need to go, because He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And when He begins to lead us, He leads us in a path of righteousness for His name's sake, and He shows us the way. Amen? So when we begin to forget about schedule a meeting and just turn our backs on the world, turn our backs, praise God, and turn our heart to the Lord. When we turn our hearts to the Lord, praise God, He says, "Create in me a clean heart." So what the psalmist was wanting, praise God, he was wanting God to touch him, he was wanting God to change him. So how does those changes begin to take place? It takes place when we humble ourselves, praise God, and we pray. When we humble ourselves and pray, then God's going to hear our prayers and He'll heal our land. Ain't that what it tells us? We can see that if you just want to flip back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, very familiar scripture. He's talking about when things ain't going as the way we'd like to. Then King Solomon's writing down the things of God as they've dedicated the house of the Lord, praise God, that he had built for the Lord. And the Lord says, whenever things ain't so rosy, verse 13, He says, "If I shut up the heaven, there'd be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people." He said, when things start getting pretty rough, He said, what do you do? What do you do? Praise God. He said, you just humble yourself and you pray. Verse number 14 said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." How do we humble ourselves? We come humbly before God. You say, "Pastor Jeff, what does that mean?" It means that we realize that we're not God, but He is. That God is God, and He's none like Him. Amen? You won't find Him here in this world. You can look all over the place, and you'll never find nobody like God. You'll never find nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find nobody like the sweet Holy Spirit. That'll speak to your heart, praise God, and fill you to overflowing. Where you'll get to running over, praise God. You'll get to can't help it, and you don't care that people see it. Amen? You'll be stirred down in your soul. Praise God. But he goes on, he says, shall humble himself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So he said there's got to be a turning point. In order to do that, you know what we have to do, you and I? We have to set aside our pride. Amen? We have to set aside our pride. We have to get rid of pride. Pride has no, hey listen, pride has no place in a child of God. The only thing we ought to be proud about is just being an old saved sinner. Amen? That's the only thing we've got to be proud of is just let the Lord Jesus thinking enough of us to save us from our sins. Amen? To write our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life so that we can, praise God, we can profess our salvation. We can give God glory for all He's done. So we set aside ourselves. See, that's the foundation that we build upon. Amen. If you're going to have a spiritual awakening, he says, if we'd do that, he said, then I'll do something. Amen. God put the ball in our court today, youngins. If we don't, if we'll get right with God, if we'll confess our sins and put the things of this old world behind us, then God will begin to bless us. There'll be a spiritual awakening like this country's never seen. I don't know about you, I'd like to see this whole valley just on fire for God over the next 2 weeks. I'd like to see it so on fire, praise God, kindled up even when the tent meeting's over and done. People still shouting and praising God down at the house of God. Amen? And we're filled with the Spirit of God. We feel that there's a fire built up in us. And it's a fire, praise God, that we continually want to fan the flames on. Amen. We got so many people that's been in so long, they let the fire go out. Amen. And our children, our grandchildren, are paying the price. They're being left out in the cold, praise God, where there's no heat. Amen. We need that fire stirring in our hearts again. And the only way to get rid of it, to get it going, get rid of it, is get rid of pride. To put it behind us. Amen. He says, if my people which call my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Got to get rid of pride. Say, you know what, Lord? I'm just an old sinner. Amen. Just an old sinner. The Bible says, all sins come short of God. We're all old sinners. And we need to ask God to forgive us our sins. He said, then will I hear from heaven. He said, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. He said, if we'll put pride behind us, amen. He said, hey, it's up to us. It's us and then God. It's us doing what we need to do, praise God. And then it's God stepping in and doing what He's promised He'll do. So many people think today, well, you preacher, I can never be a Christian because I can never live a Christian life. Amen. You can't be a Christian, praise God, without Christ. Amen. Christian means a follower of Christ. And without Christ, you can do nothing. Amen. Jesus tells us that over in John chapter 16. He said, you can, without me, you can do nothing. But praise God. But Paul says that I can do all things through Christ, praise God. It's everything I need to do to bring glory to Him. He said, I can do because of Him. Amen. But said, we got to put that pride behind us. We got to put that on in the rear view mirror, praise God, and press on for the glory of God. Begin to just magnify and praise His holy name. He said He'd hear from heaven. He'd forgive our sins. Amen? Forgive our sins. Wouldn't it be good to have your sins forgiven, put behind you, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never be remembered against you again? Only God can do that. We can't do that. If you do something that hurts my feelings, it's hard for me to forget it. Amen? I can forgive you, but it's hard to forget. Sometimes when it comes to stuff like that, we're like elephants. You know, elephants an elephant never forgets. So if you ever do anything to harm an elephant, said it remembers it its whole life. Amen? But he said, and that's the way we are sometimes if we ain't careful. Praise God. But God takes our sin and He forgives us our sin and He forgets our sin. He casts in the sea of forgetfulness. Not that He couldn't remember it, but He chooses not to. Glory, hallelujah. Ain't you glad God's that way? He chooses not to remember your sin. When we come to Him with a broken, contrite heart and we ask Him for forgiveness, then He forgives us, praise God. That's what David was asking here, praise the Lord. He said, listen, he said, I want you to forgive me, God. I want you to put me back into that standing that I used to have to you. He said, I want you to create in me a clean heart. Now, don't notice what David was asking for. He said, I want you to create in me. In other words, it wasn't there yet. Amen. I'm going to say, in all of us, hello, me included, our heart ain't clean. God's continuously, through His Word, praise God, through His Spirit, is continually working on us to clean us up. Because one day He wants to present us to Himself, praise God, without spot or blemish or any such thing. So David said, Lord, I want you to begin that cleaning process on me, to begin to work on me, praise God. Now, ain't that what he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14? He said, if we'll confess our sin, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray and ask God, then God will. Amen. So we start doing our part. You start doing your part. Let me just say this. Pastor Jeff can't do that for you. Amen. Mama can't do that for you. Daddy can't do that for you. Amen. Your husband can't do that for you. Your wife can't do that for you. You have to do it as an individual. Amen. We ask God for forgiveness. We put ourselves into His hands and we ask Him to create in me a clean heart. Amen. To take that Ajax scrubbing compound and begin to through the Word of God and begin to clean up our hearts. See, you get your heart clean, praise God. You get your heart right, the rest of your body will follow suit. Amen. If we get our heart right, God begins, a spiritual awakening begins when we get our heart right with God individually. Amen. You'll start thinking different. You'll start looking different. You'll start talking different. And you'll start loving different. Every essence about you will change. Amen. Oh, Brother Bill, you say without a change, he's talking about salvation, he says, without a change, ain't no chance. It's something as big as God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit moves into you. The Holy Spirit moves in, He takes up His abode in a child of God. Amen. We all believe that, right? Hello? Come on. Amen. We believe that the Holy Spirit moves into you, takes up His abode, He lives in you. Now, that's the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God moves into your heart and He takes up His abode. He dwells in you. Amen? In other words, that's where He lives. That's where He hangs out. Now, where He hangs out in you is a different story. You can let Him hang out in the furthest regions of your heart, or you can let Him hang out in the center of your heart. That place that they call the reins, the center of your affections and your emotions and everything about you. Amen? And then God takes that and He begins to redefine, praise God, who you are. Now we can redefine ourselves. Amen? I've got a great old big walker dog at the house. God gave her to me for my birthday. She was up here running around. Nobody claimed her. Big old walker dog about this big at the house. Now she relates herself not as a big old walker dog. She thinks of herself. What's that word? She thinks of herself as a chihuahua. She identifies as a chihuahua. Amen. She's great big, but she identifies as a chihuahua. You say, how's that? She wants to climb up in your lap like a chihuahua. Amen. But it's how we identify ourselves makes a difference. You can identify yourself as anything you want to identify as. But God designates who we are. Amen? He wants us to focus on who we are for His glory. Amen? So He's designating us. He's designating your very character. He's designating your life. He wants to designate all the features of you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how would I turn out? You'd turn out like Jesus. You'd turn out into something that was perfect. Amen. That had a close relationship with God the Father that was always seeking to do the will of the Father. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. In the world that we live in, society, They want to tell us, well, that's not good, so you shouldn't pressure people to be like you. I told him, I said, buddy, I said, I don't want you to be like me. Amen. I don't want you to be anywhere near like me. I want you to be like Jesus. Amen. I want you to be in the image of God Almighty. Because He loves you so much that one day He wants you to be with Him where He is. So He loved you so much He came to seek and to save that was lost. He came to die for the sins of the old sinners, praise God, so that we could be saved, so that we wouldn't perish, end up in destruction, and be useless. God wants you to be used. Amen. So we need a spiritual awakening, praise God, so that God can begin to use us, even for His glory. Amen. Praise God. So we begin that preparation. So how do we get it? How do we get there? David says, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So we just, what does that basically mean? That basically means just get right with God. Amen. Give the Holy Spirit that place where He deserves to be in our hearts and our lives. So that God can manifest Himself in us. That's that preparation. You say, preacher, how do you get that? We get that through a deep inter-examination. Amen. Hello? Have you ever gave yourself a deep inter-examination? Have you looked at, you know, it's funny, we'll get in front of a mirror, y'all, and we'll look at ourselves, we'll smile, and boy, we'll prep, and we'll try to make everything look just right on the outside. Come on now, come on, ladies. Amen. Amen, praise God. Well, I ain't going to go there. I start saying, us men, we'll look in the mirror and make sure every hair is just right. But I'm looking back there, there ain't much hair in here, boys. Amen. ain't a whole lot to fix. Me included, praise the Lord. But we'll look at the outside. But have you ever really looked down on the inside? Have you ever thought about yourself in the way that God sees you? See, when they was a glory be to God, they was looking for somebody to be a king. And Samuel was looking, he said, David's brother, see, boy, he's a big old fella, stout fella, good looking man, boy, full of muscles. Well, that's got to be the king. Amen. And God said, no, Samuel. I'm not looking on the outside. He said, I'm looking on the inside. He said, today's another, and it ain't him. Amen. Today's a little old boy that's up attending to the sheep. He's ruddy looking. Little old freckled boy, praise God. Not a whole lot to look at on the outside, but on the inside, he's got a heart. You say, well, preacher, how could he? Because you just said that he had the fire of Bathsheba, killed her husband, done through all this wicked stuff. Amen? But God would say he's a man after my own heart. There's a message in that I've been working on too. We'll get to that one day. Somebody asked me a while back, said, how in the world could he be a man after God's own heart when he done such wicked things? Amen? Praise God. But I won't get into that today. We'll be here all evening. But we see that when so David was, he wasn't looking at the outward, he was looking at the inside. I mean, God's not looking at your outside, praise God. He's looking at the inside. He's looking at your heart. And when he sees your heart, praise God, he sees the kind of person that you are. Amen. How's your heart today? How's your heart? You running well? Amen. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you focused on Him? We got to do that deep examination, that internal examination. Amen. Got to be like David, have that desire to be cleansed from sin. Amen. Sin ought to be something that we don't have anything to do with. There's so many things. Now listen to me. There's so many things that beset us in this world today. Everywhere you look, I feel sorry for our young people because everywhere you look, they sin. Everywhere you look, there's iniquity. It abounds. Transgressions where people's missing the mark and they're putting it out there on Facebook and everything else that it's okay. Amen? I seen a thing on TV, supposed to be a little kid's program, and it was two fellas, and they was talking about how to be disrespectful to the parents and to the teacher. And that was supposed to be a kid's video. And they was teaching them how to be disrespectful. They was acting out, showing how to be disrespectful. We got to be careful. There's so much sinfulness in this world today. And it's put in videos and where we can see it, and it infiltrates your mind. Amen. Gets in there, praise God. So we got to have a desire, praise God, to cleanse our, to be cleansed from sin. We got to mortify the deeds of the flesh, the things that would grab our attention, praise God, and want to suck us in. We just got to cry out and call the name of Jesus. Amen. We got to be strong, praise God, in our faith. We got to be strong for the Lord. That's why we need a strong spiritual awakening. David was saying, I need a strong spiritual awakening. I need God stirring in my heart. So I want you to renew a right spirit within me. To renew it, to stir it up, to get it to get it back motivated again, going in God's direction. So that I can get glory, for God can get glory out of my life. Amen. Praise God. So we've got to have that create a clean heart, and got to have a spiritual renewal in our lives. We got to seek with humility, amen, and a contrite spirit. Look at Isaiah chapter number 57. Isaiah 57. Now Israel's in a mess. They've been disobedient to God, and God's getting ready to deal with them in Isaiah 57. God said, listen, this is the way it's been. He starts giving them this is what you might call ethical instructions. He said, these are the things that if you want to be found pleasing to God, these are some of the things that you need to highlight. These are some of the things that you need to know. And let me just say that this morning. You'll find them in the volume of the book, in this old King James Bible. That's where you'll find in instructions on how to live right. People all the time say, well, I don't need God. Without God, without the Word of God, you ain't going to live right. Amen? You don't know how. That's what's wrong with the world today. We've turned our back on God. The Bible used to be the text for all schools. All of our schools, that's what they used to teach them to read with. Back when our country was founded, back when our country was actually great. Now we're saying we'll make America great again. Had that funeral right past Tuesday for a young man, went out of here. And the superintendent of school stood back there in the foyer, and I talked to him afterwards. And he said, you know what? He said, this right here is what we need back in the schools. We got to have the Word of God, praise God, to make that difference in our schools, in our school system, in our children, in our lives. We've got to have the Word of God. That's what makes the difference. That's what keeps us going in the right direction. Without that, we've done messed up. We've done missed the mark. We've done transgressed against God. And you don't have nothing to run on. How many of these little old youngins are going to these schools, praise God, and they know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ? They've never darkened the doors of a church. Amen. And I'm not saying schools ain't the school's fault. It's our homes, it's our establishments, it's in our churches. We need the Word of God. We have to establish ourselves in the truth. Amen. If we don't establish ourselves in the truth, then we'll fall for anything. And we're falling hook, line, and sinker. But listen to what he says in Isaiah chapter 57. Verse number 12, he says, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. Amen? He said the self-righteousness that you're living in, see, it ain't good for nothing. He said, it won't amount to nothing. He says, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. Now, but God's being sarcastic. You know God can be sarcastic. Amen? He said, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. You know, those that you put your trust in. Those that you've been listening to. See what they can do for you. He said, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. He said, that vanity rise up in them. They think they know it all, but he said, they don't know nothing. Listen to what he says. He says, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land. Wow, be prosperous and shall inherit my holy mountain. Amen. He said, you'll come into a place of holiness. He said, you'll get the great possession, like the greatest possession you can have is Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Praise God. And he said, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. He said, remove the stumbling blocks. Praise God, because here they come. And look at verse 15. He said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Glory be to God. That's Him. Amen. That's Him. That's God. Whose name is holy. Look what He says. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place. Watch this. With Him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Amen. He said, I dwell in the place with somebody that is humble in her heart and has a contrite spirit. You know what? We're doing word study. You know what a contrite spirit is? A contrite spirit is a spirit that's sorry for sin. Amen. Sorry because of sin. And he said, that's the kind that dwell in that high place with God. Those that are humble enough to admit their sinfulness and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of those sins. Amen. He goes on, finishes the verse. He said, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He said, what starts a spiritual awakening is a humble spirit coming before God in His holy place. Amen. Coming to a place in your own life where you're getting into where He is. It's not no longer a boring thing. It's exciting something or another. You know what's wrong with us? We don't come to church to get in, praise God. We come looking to get out. Amen. We're not looking to the Word. We're looking for the door. Come on now, stay with me. Tell me. Amen. If we come looking for the Word, praise God, come looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see Him. We won't worry about the door. It won't matter if the service takes off and it lasts 3 hours. Amen. We'll be right in there, glory to God, getting in, getting some help from the Lord. Praise His name. That's where to be. We'll be in God's presence. See, God's presence dwells in those that have a deep desire and are deeply aware, praise God, of His spiritual need. When we realize that we have a need for something and this world can't satisfy it. Amen? We all have a need for something that the world can't satisfy. And that's that spiritual, praise God, that spirituality in God. What we need from the Lord. Amen. That spiritual need that we all have. You can't satisfy it. Amen. People's trying to, everybody knows that human beings have a need. A need to worship. And if we try to fill that need for worship with other things of the world, you know, the pleasures, supposedly, of the world, it just leaves us more empty. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, what do you do? He said, we just humble ourselves, come before the Lord, praise God, that dwells in, that is a high and a holy God, and we have come to Him humbly with a contrite spirit, sorry for our old sinfulness, and that God begins to help us. We come to the place, come full circle to the place of repentance. Amen? You know, it's not a harmful thing to say I'm sorry. Amen. Come on now. Stay with me. It's not a harmful thing to say I'm sorry. It ought to be easy to do, praise God. If we've done something wrong, we ought to be able to say I'm sorry. That's what God teaches. We come in a humble spirit, a humble attitude, and we tell God we're sorry, and we mean it. Repentance means that we come to God, we realize we messed up, and we say, Lord, please forgive me. We leave it there, we name it and claim it, and we leave it there, and we turn our back on it, and we don't go back. Amen. But I'm afraid so many of us, we just keep turning back, and just, the Bible says, like a dog to his vomit, and a pig to the wallow. We just keep going back to it. We say, Lord, I get you out, get you out, cleans us up, and we turn around and just go right back. Amen? It becomes a habit, but it shouldn't be. Praise God. So a spirit of awakening, praise God, we realize where we're at, and we turn from that, and we go a different direction for God's glory. We see God begin to bless our hearts and give us the things that we don't have inside of eternity. James speaks of that over in James chapter number 4. Amen? He's telling us is that we need to repent of our sinfulness, the things that's wrong in our life. Let me just say this while you're turning. Every one of us have things in our life that's wrong. Every one of us have things that we need to correct. Amen? Now, if you sat here this morning and said, well, preacher, there ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't nothing I need to repent of. Ain't nothing I do wrong. Well, you ought to just jump up and run up here now and let us pray with you because you're deceived. Amen? Because we all have things that we need to repent of, all that we need to put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can go on for God's glory. Amen? That's what that's keeping us from having that spiritual awakening that we need. Amen? James chapter number 4, verse number 6. He said, but he giveth more grace. That's that unmerited favor of God. God gives that. That comes directly from the throne room of grace. To be given more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. See, there it is. When we humble ourselves before God, realize that we're nothing, that he's everything, that we're sinners, praise God, he's not. Then he said, then we begin to get power with God. That power manifests to us. And then he says, verse number 7, he said, submit yourself therefore to God. To submit. Amen. Praise God. To submit yourself therefore to God. That's in other words, to commit ourselves, to submit or commit ourselves to the Lord. We got, when we come to the place that we say, Lord, I can't, but you can. Amen. Anybody hearing me? Amen. Said, Lord, I can't, but you can. I know it. So, Lord, would you help me? You know what, church? We need to do that every day. Every day we need to say, Lord, the first thing, Lord, I know I'm running well, ain't done nothing, ain't hurt nobody, ain't done nothing wrong, but in a minute, I'm going to throw my feet out of this bed, and I need all the help I can get. Amen? Amen. Need all the help I can get. So we commit ourselves from the very beginning to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. He said, submit yourself therefore to God. He says, resist the devil. Now, that word resist means to take a stand. Now, you and I are no match for the devil. Amen? We're no match for the devil. But he said we put up a resistance. He said we take a stand against him. And if we take a stand against him, then we're taking a stand for Christ. And if you take a stand for Christ, he said, if he be for you, who can be against you? Amen? He's right there to help you. So he said, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? He said, so if we put up that resistance, we make that commitment, we'll just do that today. Just make that commitment. Say, you know, Lord, I'm just going to commit myself to you. I'm going to trust you. And we got to do it. And I tell you, the older you get, the more you realize you need to submit and commit yourself to the Lord. Because the older you get, the more help you're going to need. Amen? Praise God. And the more resistance you can have when you commit yourself to him. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, can God lie? We established that last Sunday, I believe, that God cannot lie. So he says in his word, is this, whose word is this? It's God's word. And he says in his word, he said, resist the devil. He said, take a stand against him. And said, and he will flee from you. Now, does that mean the devil will flee from you if you take a stand? As Miss G says all the time, just when the devil assaults you, just say, shut your eyes, say, Jesus, 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 and just look right in the portals of glory where he's at, and boom, that old devil's gone. He said, preacher, you believe that? And I said, yeah, because God says it. Amen. He said, we put up a resistance and he flees. He will flee from you. You didn't think you had that kind of power this morning, did you? Amen. Didn't think you had that kind of power. Didn't have you think you had that kind of clout. Amen. But you do have when you humble yourself and you submit yourself and you resist. And if you humble and you resist, praise God, you humble and you commit and you resist. He said, look what he says in verse number 8. He said, draw nigh to God. Now this is not a suggestion. Okay? This is a commandment. Hello? Let me ask you, don't raise your hand, but let me just ask you a question. Every day of your life, are you trying to draw closer to God, draw nigh to God, get closer to God? Now, you sat here a while ago and you thought to yourself, well, I ain't no sinner like the rest of you. I'm doing what's right. You know, I'm taking care of things. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you trying to draw closer to God, get a better relationship with God every day? Are you working on it? Are you putting forth the effort? Because the Bible says to draw nigh to God, commandment, not a suggestion. And He will draw nigh to you. Amen? So we have to ask our question if we're actually trying to draw closer to God. Because that's where our help comes in. That's where our strength comes in. See, that preparation that James is telling us, because that's what makes revival. That's what gives that spiritual awakening in our soul. That's what revival requires. Amen? In other words, he says it helps us to abandon those worldly desires, those worldly things, those worldly habits, if you will. Does anybody have any bad habits? Come on, they'll be honest. Amen. God loves you, loves honesty. We've all got bad habits. Amen. But if we've got hurtful habits, habits that hurt, harms other people, then we ought to forsake them. We're going to get rid of them. Amen. Amen. Praise God, Lord, get rid of them. Abandon those bad habits. Those things, praise God, don't bring glory to God. Amen. And to draw and try to draw closer to the Lord every day. And we do that by committing ourselves to Him, by asking Him every day, say, Lord, help me to be closer today. Help me to be listening for You. Did you know that Bible says, the psalmist says that God inclines to hear us? He sticks down His ear, He cups up His hand to hear from you. How would you feel if you loved somebody, praise God, and you thought they loved you back, and you was constantly just holding, waiting on the phone for them to call you, and they never do? Amen. A spiritual awakening comes from, praise God, when we realize that we need to hear from heaven, and heaven needs to hear from you. Amen. Praise God. So what do we do? What is a spiritual awakening? What are we talking about? We're talking about a stirring from God. Amen? We're talking about a personal repentance, repenting from our sins, yours and mine, the things that we do that's contrary to God, that break His heart, make Him sad. And we know that from the Word of God. He tells us the things that He's not pleased with. And the only way we can do that is if we, spiritual awakening is when we come in humility, and say, Lord, you know what? I'm just an old weak, fleshly vessel. Amen? A weak, but you know your weak, fleshly vessel is precious in the eyes of God. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because He made us in the likeness of His image. Glory to God. That's why He loves us. Amen? And we come in humility before Him. Praise God. And then James says, what we do then as spiritual awakening is when we actively are seeking God. When we're actively, you say, preacher, I get up on Sunday morning and I come to church. I didn't ask you if you went to church. I asked you if you're seeking God. Amen. Guidance and leadership and His Word and His truth and it instilled in your bodies and your minds so you be found pleasing to Him in these last days. Amen. A spiritual awakening, young, it's what we need. It's what we got to have. That's what we're lacking, is that spiritual awakening in the Lord Jesus Christ. Waking up from our slumber. Amen. You know what's wrong with the United States of America? We've been so blessed for so long that we take God for granted. You know, when times was hard, when things was difficult, when Papa and Mama and him, we had to get out and work and grind and try to make a living. It wasn't easy, praise God. But now we got everything's a touch of a button. Amen. I used to think that the wildest thing in the world on the Jetsons. Anybody know the Jetsons? Amen. They lived in the way in the future. And they'd go in there and they'd get this little old pill-looking thing and they'd throw it in this little box and shut the door and mash a button and boom, there was supper. Huh? I thought, man, that's the craziest thing. These people's lunatics. That can't ever happen. Guess what? That super nuker buddy can fix it up for you in a minute. Amen? Our mamas, they scrub their clothes on a washboard. hung them out on a clothesline. But my Grandma Massey, if you went to her house, praise God, she took time to talk to you. She took time to feed you, praise God. You would not leave her house without eating. Amen. Amen. Now somebody comes to our house, we're hoping God they stay in the car and don't come in the house. Amen. If they come in the house, I'm going to have to sit down and talk with them. I ain't got time for that. Hello? Ain't no wonder we ain't got time for God. We ain't got time for each other. We ain't got time to breathe. Amen? We need a spiritual awakening. It starts inside every one of us individually. God's wanting to do something for us today, but we got to want to let Him. Amen? I know every one of us is busy and as busy as a three-legged sheepdog. Amen? I mean, getting it the best we can. But sometimes we just got to slow down to where we can get God. Amen. We don't want to forsake Him. We don't want to leave Him out. Because He is that very most important part. Because if you got Him, you got it all. Amen. Again, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, what's right in the eyes of God. And all these things, food, clothing, raiment, roof over your head, all that He said, it shall be added unto you. Again, can God lie? No. So if you need those things, praise God, then seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness, what's right in the eyes of God, and He'll add all, He'll take care of all that for you. Believe me, I'm living proof. God's always been there for us, and He always will be. But we all need that spiritual awakening to get us where we need to be. Amen? We need to search ourselves. We need to come in personal repentance, repent, asking God to forgive us of the things in our life that's hindering us, that's holding us down, holding us back. Ask God to help us. Put it behind us. Forsake it. You got to have humility. You got to humble yourself to do that, though. You got to come in a humble spirit, seeking God's face so He can help you. And you got to know that He wants to. Amen? He wants to do that for you. Praise God. And we have to. We have to have an active life of seeking God. Have to actively be seeking Him every day. Start looking for Him in different places. Start looking for Him in different situations. And it won't be long till you'll start seeing Him everywhere. Amen? You'll start seeing Him everywhere. You'll be driving down the road, and somebody's a... You know what you see every morning? You see somebody on their cell phone in this hand, and a makeup contact in this hand, and another, going back and forth to brush and phone, driving with their knee. Amen. And glory to God. They bob over the line. They bob over the line, and you're there waiting for that opportunity when they bob to the right, so you can bob to the left. Shoot on by. That's just God making. That's God's grace. Making a way. Amen? We don't know what we'll encounter out there. But we know that God's promised to be there with us. To help us. To protect us. So we start looking for a spiritual awakening in our own life. Amen? When we start looking for that spiritual awakening in our own life, then God begins to do wonderful, mighty things for us. That's why the psalmist would say in Psalms 51, he'd say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He said, that's what I've got to have to get me back running well in the eyes of a holy God. Amen. That's what we've got to have to be running well in the eyes of a holy God. The same God that, the same ambitions that David had is the same ambitions that you and I have to have so we might be found pleasing to God. That'll start a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual awakening in our lives. You and me, all of us, need the same thing. Amen. It don't matter how long you've been in it or how long you ain't been in it. We all need the same thing. And when we all get geared in the same way, I can't pull a whole lot by myself. You can't pull a whole lot by yourself. It's like the old feller said, you can take a banny rooster and gear him right with a couple other banny roosters, and they can pull a freight train. Amen? When we get together geared right with the Word of God, we can pull the load. We can go out in the world. We can do those things that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Because we'll have a spiritual awakening, an awakening that'll stir us in our soul. And people, it's contagious. Amen. It's contagious. You get excited about the Lord, and other people get excited too. Now they might find you obnoxious for a little while. Amen. But then they'll start seeing excitement in you. They'll start seeing it. Hey, after four or five times or 10 or 12 times, they'll say, man, this guy's got the right stuff. He's always excited. He's always smiling. She's always smiling. I'm like, what happened to her? I said, man, she got saved. She committed herself to the Lord. Praying. Hey, it was a spiritual awakening in her. She's alive. He's alive. They're vibrant. They're going for God. They're running well. We ought to be going for God. We ought to be running well. Amen? We don't have far to run. Don't have long. We need to be ready today. Amen? Today would be a good day to get started. Amen?